the recent developments in the Philippines are very exhilarating because what we had was another popular uprising that deposed a leader who had betrayed the public trust. In 1986, we had the uprising against Marcos. And in the last few days, we saw the conclusion of a three-month-long effort to get Joseph Estrada out. And the man basically was a crook. Tremendous amounts of people's resources had been accumulated in different bank accounts. And the guy was trying to centralize illegal gambling operations under the presidency. So what Estrada represents and represented was what I would call the shakedown state. And this is one of the problems with a number of states in the world. But in the case of the Philippines, it's not only that the mafia is stronger than the government, as in Colombia. I think what Estrada proved in the Philippines was the mafia is the government, and that the hierarchy of crime and the hierarchy of the state intertwine at very key points, so that the project of Mr. Estrada was to become the apex of both the state and the criminal hierarchy. So this is the sort of person that was overthrown in the Philippines, and I think that the impeachment trial, which lasted for about a month, brought out so many dimensions of crime and corruption that he had organized from the presidential palace that people were so horrified and disgusted that it was really no problem to get hundreds of thousands of people out on the streets. And because he was painted in the impeachment trial as, you know, a very slimy crook, it was very difficult for anybody to support him, so that in the end practically all his cabinet members left, and he was left all alone. So that this was a situation whereby presidential authority collapsed and eroded because it had no more legitimacy. And in the end, one might say that in the end, what you had was not so much a revolution in terms of an overturning social structures or political structures, but a popular mobilization that ended up ousting an extremely corrupt president, criminal, mafia guy.
I'd like to ask you, what are your hopes and expectations for the vice president, now president?
Well, the vice president is somebody that a lot of us are very skeptical about. She is somebody who has personal and political ties to one of the biggest gambling operators in the Philippines, also a gambling operator that was tied to Estrada. She has not denounced her political relations with this family, the Bong Pineda family. The second thing is that in as much as we're talking about the importance of honesty, she did not declare among her assets the fact that she and her husband own $4.6 million worth of property in San Francisco. I believe that the property is either on Sutter or in Folsom Streets. And when this was discovered, that they owned it, they basically said that they were just holding the title for her brother-in-law. The third thing, which I think is also very disturbing, is the neoliberal propensities of the vice president. We're talking about the person who led the fight in the Senate to get the GATT-WTO accord ratified by the Philippine Senate. So she is a trained economist who has neoliberal views. Now, of course, people can change, but until we see evidence of change, I think it will be we need to be on our guard. So right now in the Philippines, there's a lot of euphoria. There's a lot of dancing in the streets. But I think the hard part of real change, real reform, real structural changes needs to be done. So this is the challenge that we have at this point.
And that's probably from the bottom up.
Of course, it's got to be from the bottom up, but this is also a process of change that's very difficult in the Philippines, because precisely of the way that the elites try always to control and to direct the process. So I think that this is a unique juncture in Philippine history, and I hope that we can move away from just being bogged down in an anti-corruption platform or an anti-crony platform, and to get beyond that to discussions of real policy issues. For instance, what should be the trade policy? What should be our relationship to the WTO? What should our government's relationship be to the World Bank and the IMF? You see, none of these issues could be discussed because everything was corruption, corruption, corruption. You know, so now that we've got a horribly corrupt government out of the way, maybe we can begin to have the real debate on national policy issues.